Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine!
Greetings and welcome to a Saturday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is April 13th. Andy, how we doing?
Brendan, I'm doing phenomenal. You know, I gotta say, today was about the best day of golf watching you could have. The course was fiery, but I think the thing that amused me the most, the thing that I will take from the day, is I got a nice seat on 12, kind of sat in there, found a spot.
Someone else's chair who was had vacated it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And I sat there, and I watched a number of golfers make a putt, turn to acknowledge the crowd, but none of them turned and yelled any obscenities.
Satch did not yell. He didn't yell. He muttered under his breath, somewhere between yelling and muttering under his breath. Cut him some slack.
But I did notice that when people clapped or made noise, they turned around, and the people that when it was silent, they didn't. They didn't turn around when it was silent.
Yep. We got to a minute like 50 last night. Maybe a highlight of the Masters so far. If I said it and it's on camera, I don't deny it if I said it. Especially if it's on camera. That was an all-timer. Zach just in the complete blender. I got some more insight on like that whole quick quote. So apparently as a media member, had no idea what was going on. Just looking to stir the pot. Hadn't even seen the video. He's like, what's with the social thing? He had enough to kind of throw a few, just stir it up. Just amusing. Like, didn't know what was precisely what had happened, but just wanted to get some clarity on the matter and just put Zach in the blender without having seen it himself or really understanding what might have happened. So,
how was your day?
It was great. It was fabulous. Amazing day out there. Course got crispy, got a little firm. The winds were not what they've been. They were present at times, some breeze, but it was beautiful out. It was chilly this morning, not, you know, crisp. And then I went out all day and kind of pinged around between Scotty Group, Colin Group, got a little bit of Ludwig Hebert. You know, Saturday is called moving day. I don't know when or where it was called that. It feels like sort of a convention they use for the broadcast to gin up some I don't know, dramatics or fireworks.
Can I ask you a question?
No one was moving anywhere. They were moving down.
There's a lot of movement.
Down. Not in the back. The back
nine. A couple
people
moved up?
The back nine. It was incredible just to, because you're out there. You watch the white numbers, right? No one. It's just hanging on for dear life. Five under, six under. Maybe like the only movement was a couple of precipitous falls. One of which, I gotta say,
Nikolai Hogarth.
I don't want to delight. I'm not reveling in this at all. But I was down in Amen Corner. I ran into our friend Jamie Weir of Sky Sports, who was just giddy, just bursting with joy about Nikolai Højgaard, who had taken a momentary solo lead, I believe, with a birdie on 10. A big roar came up at 10, just bursting about his solo lead at 7 under and Ludwig's kind of charge a couple holes ahead. It's like, oh, Luke took so much crap for this. This is going to be amazing. Højgaard then proceeds to drop a shot at 11, 12, 13, 14, and 18, and just
15
boom.
15, too.
15 as well. Yeah, just
I saw the putt on 10. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
This Hogarth, like, because I was watching, I went on Bryson Watch again, which was amusing. Another amazing day on Bryson Watch.
People say you win thirst bucket of the day for a second straight day for getting in there talking about YouTube golf, just trying to throw him some red meat. get them going by YouTube Golf.
I got the answer I wanted.
Live from. It was on Live from Golf Channel.
I got the answer I wanted on the follow-up question.
He didn't quite understand.
He was so excited
to talk
YouTube.
Well,
I was super worried. I wanted to ask
him
this.
Thank you for all you do online.
I wanted to ask him this yesterday. I didn't get called on in the press conference, but... You know, I was all worried because it's like he's going to be in a pouty mood, and he was in a pouty mood. He wasn't in a good mood.
I can imagine.
It was yesterday. If I had gotten to ask that question, he would have just waxed poetic about it in the press center. He would have gone on and on and on. Today, I didn't get that. But hey, Hogard, I had in my notes. Is it Luke Donald or Dabo Swinney, my new good friend Dabo?
Yeah, you had some nice words with Dabo.
My new good friend Dabo or Luke Donald, a better talent evaluator.
I mean, probably LD.
Right?
Right? I was thinking about going up and ask Dabo about what can we expect from Deshaun this year, given that, you know, he knows how he can sling it. He's seen him at its peak. But you started talking about Taylor Swift rumors or something like that. But
he told me, you know, I know Travis Kelce. And I go, that's why I'm telling you about this. I figure you can go talk to him.
I don't think we're just off the course. I don't think they ever came.
They did not.
That rumor
did not. I popped in around the clubhouse at the turn. There was no Taylor sightings yet.
Can we talk about Bryson real quick for a minute?
We want to talk about Bryson right now?
Do you want to do a little
Bryson minute?
We'll do Scheffler, Morikawa, I'm sure. We know where this is going.
I got pages of notes on Bryson.
All right. All right, so movements. No one was moving up. I would say you're holding on for life.
Bryson didn't have his A game today.
No.
Compared to yesterday, the vibes were different. He
wasn't eating these pretzels in the middle of our podcast.
I think these guys, it gets on the weekend, and they just don't, like, the free-flowingness of Bryson yesterday, the jovial nature inside the ropes, he was just a little bit more reserved today. And I think one of the things was Max was getting, like, way more fan support than Bryson, like, way more. And you could see Bryson kind of turtle up. Like, he came up, he got a huge, huge ovation on 12. And then Max came up, and Max got like a standing O, and it was like I've kind of felt. Yeah, it's interesting. Like I think this is like I don't want to go super psychoanalysis here.
Not enough
but
YouTube
I just
appreciators
two,
out there
two
for
days.
Bryson.
I just watched 2 days of Bryson, so I'm kind of in the psychoanalysis.
Yeah, at this point,
I think like when the vibes are good for Bryson, when he's the main actor on the stage, he plays his best golf. And when he is on stage with someone who might be a little bit more popular, that's when he gets a little, you know, in his shell.
I mean, also golf tournament changes on the weekend when you're leading, you're last. Like you aren't just hiding in the middle of the tee sheet.
Yeah.
Like the whole dynamic just changes where you can just
so
play
easy
for 2 days.
To follow him yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. You just in the middle of the tee sheet and there's you know, Bryson. So I was ahead the whole day. I mean, I credit you a little bit with this take. So he just sends one way right down by the water on 15. And this is kind of where it for sure unraveled.
I mean, think about this was him thinking he was outsmarting the golf course again with the same thing he did on 13 yesterday. This was today's version of carrying the sign.
Thirst Bucket Friday became Thirst Bucket Saturday. And it kind of bit him. He effed around and found out, as they say, the kids say. So I'm just trying to go up 17. I nearly get beanball in the head as this ball comes flying down.
I thought he was going for the green because of how big the swing was.
Right.
He was back in the trees. I was behind 15 green. I was like on 16 watching 15. It's like kind of my move is I get over there and I can see him come hit the shots up. You got to make decisions out there.
So I went right. I'm down at 16.
He launched it into the air. Like, it was like, I was like, is he going for the green from there?
So he just rattles one down there, and I almost get beaned. I was like, all right, I'm going to stop. I'm going to stand right here. I watched the whole thing on top of it. He's like, there's no TIO out there. Augusta's very, you know, measured about avoiding TIO. He finds it, though. There's a TV stand. He moves to the left. He drops it twice. The ball rolls closer to the hole. He gets to place his ball. It's like, oh, this is a great break. You know, he gets away from a tree. He would have been trying to the TV stand doesn't exist. He's punching under a tree, over the bunker, across the fast green, like just crazy shot. But the TV stands there. He kind of gets to move and like, and he gets to place the ball. Perfect lie.
He did so that yesterday like, too with the TIO at the grandstand. He got to place it.
Finding TIO at a course where they take pains to make sure there is none. The second day in a row. So I'm like, ah, oh, he's getting a great break here. And this was the golf gods just sort of evening out. I am not an equipment expert, a swing expert, but he took that. He talks to his Jibo several times, 65 to the flag, 65 to the flag. It would take almost close to a full swing. He takes that wedge out. Andy, the club is too long. It's so, he's got a side hill downhill. The lie is not bad.
Well,
the
that's
club
what
is too long for
I
a
think
touch
that's one
six.
Of the problems.
You want to hit a 50-yard shot off an uneven lie. The thing looked too long, and he just duffs it into the water. Game not over, but he's not in
great shape.
Well,
he talked about
anymore.
It in his press conference after how he just, like, the greens got so fast, and he can't
hold
handle
it.
Them.
Yeah.
He literally was like, I can't handle the speed. I got to figure out. And he said, I can't use my foresight on the greens here.
What?
Yes.
What does that mean?
I guess they don't let him use it.
Okay.
He can't put it on a putting green at Augusta. And he's like, it's just like the green reading books. I have to learn how to adjust. Everybody else can't use their foresight. I can't use my foresight on the greens. And it's causing him these like problems. He's got the long clubs causing problems around the greens.
That kind of shot, it looked too big. I'm not going to next. It was crazy. The interesting equalizer today. You're talking about the foresight. I just got out of Colin Morikawa's press conference. He says he can't really. He's used aim point for the last year. He's like, at a certain point out here, like aim point doesn't matter. The aim point, you can't use aim point. You just have to let the artwork happen or make artwork is what he said.
So like, you're saying there might be some credence to like everything breaks certain ways.
Yeah,
is what he's saying.
Oh, well, sure, but he yes, you can't.
There's some gravitational pull that a lot of data boys don't like to acknowledge.
I mean, he was
that might exist.
He was still aim pointing out there, but it's just interesting the way that Augusta National, especially today, put a lot of these guys, including our leaders, Colin Morikawa, he's never seen the course like this. His first Masters was 2020. The weather, everything's just been wet and soft. Scotty even, right? Scotty probably hasn't seen a course. Like,
no.
I know he's won a Masters, but...
I was thinking about if you ask...
Bryson.
I think like a great question to ask somebody in the early wave tomorrow is like, where does this weekend at Augusta National in terms of difficulty, firmness, rank all time? Like if you talk to like Olathabal about it.
Unsubstantiated rumor. I heard that Roy McIlroy told someone last night that was the hardest 18 holes of golf that he'd played. Now we're talking about Friday with the wind. We're talking about Friday. But just to give you a sense of where we are this week, and now wind died down, but they had some pins and firmer. It is a different kind of test for a lot of these players who haven't seen Augusta firm.
I think if we're being real here, like who has elevated themselves to the top of the leaderboard?
Mm-hmm.
I would say that everybody would agree that Scheffler is probably the best iron player in the world right now.
Yep.
If I was going to say who has the ability to out iron Scottie Scheffler, who in the world has the ability to out iron Scottie Scheffler, out approach Scottie Scheffler, if they're both at their best, it'd be like Colin Morikawa and Tiger. And you see at the top of the board, Scottie Scheffler and Colin Morikawa.
I would say over the last few years, Max Homa is not super far behind.
No.
Either of them.
I think he would be on the list of next best approach players.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be so good out there. The margins are so, so slim right now. It is... You know, like you just saw, like Max, I thought Max played a really solid round of golf. Like I think he was a little too conservative. But that being said, he had some shots where like on 16, on 6, he was a mere yard one way from being perfect. And instead he has these long birdie putts, which he got out of both of them with pars. But if it kind of shades 1 yard the other way, he has good looks. I think like one thing I asked Max after the round, I was doing some quick quotes about, he was really conservative on the par fives.
Okay. Saw him lay up at 15 as Bryson was fiddling around.
He said he liked getting down there. He's a really good wedge player. Yeah. Wanted to lean on his wedges. 13 was the one he was like, I really don't like that tee shot. And that's the one that I have to hit that shot. And I think he hit 3 wood off it, it looked like.
Okay.
And he hit like turnover. He was like 60 yards behind Bryson. And it's like, I think that's, you know, you're trying to win the Masters. Sometimes you got to do stuff that's a little uncomfortable. And I know you don't like that shot, but you got to pull lumber there, hit driver. And if it goes into the pine straw, you're laying up just like if you hit 3 wood, you're laying up.
Kind of in a similar spot with zero reward, chance for reward.
Yeah, like that's the thing that I'm just wondering about, because he walks away with a par. You know, he didn't hit the best wedge shot. He got above it, and he had an eight footer for par.
I would say a 36 on the back today from those last like five groups was a good score, though.
He played so solid. I think the game plan was really good, and he's playing great. I think like to win majors, sometimes you have to step a little outside your comfort zone, and I think 13 is a great example. Is like, listen, like if you're playing as a 3-shot hole, you're spotting, like you see what can happen. Scheffler made an eagle there. It turned around his entire day, and you're hitting it to the spot where if you're hitting the pine straw, you're going to be chipping down maybe 40 or 50 yards behind that.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're not gaining, like you have to give yourself the opportunity to make something happen sometimes when you're coming. Like at this point, I'm so for conservativeness and keeping in the ball game. But at certain points on the weekend, on the back nine, in the hunt, I'm sorry, you can't hit 3 wood on 13.
Interesting. We'll see what he does tomorrow. I mean, it presumably will not be as hard tomorrow, but it will be as firm and challenging.
I think they're going to allow it to be, like, I thought the pins were really hard today.
17, they were crazy. Crazy pins. Not crazy, you know what I mean. Challenging.
They were hard. Ass and, kickers. Like, I kind of was wondering, I thought it might be easy. We got a message from our photographer, Cameron, who knows quite a bit about golf design. And he took a spin early this morning.
Yep.
And he was like, the pins are so hard.
Yeah. It was a tough day. I mean, the wind subsided, but they didn't make it any easier. So, any other Bryson notes? You said you had a whole stack of Bryson notes.
All right.
You seemed very confused about your YouTube question. Presumed you thought you were suggesting you should play break 50 at Augusta National, or play one club, or play the Nike One Ball.
I think it was the questioner's error.
All right.
I should have said,
sure.
Does that versatility help you?
Right.
All right. So, I got to start with hole two.
Okay.
Hole two, nobody is clapping after he hit an insanely great shot.
Okay.
Into the green. He's walking up. Nobody's clapping. He gets on the front of the green, and he raises his hand, and then people start to clap. But it was like he raised his hand to acknowledge no clapping.
That's bizarre. Really?
Yeah. Nobody was clapping, and then he raised his hand, and people gave him a small ovation.
Huh.
The best note I have. The very best. He walked off the second green, or the 10th green.
Okay.
He's walking through the crosswalk. Do you know where that is nearby?
Say that again? Sorry.
The 10th green.
Uh-huh.
He's walking off the 10th green.
Yep.
What's near 10 green when you're walking to 11T?
Like there's like those cabins back there as you go back there.
No. Like at where it crosses to 11.
I'm not sure.
You're fairly close to Kitty Litter Alley.
Yeah, sure. Oh, up there. Yeah.
And he goes, turns to Jibo and he goes, ooh, that smell.
You like that? The synapses, all the five senses are firing.
Overall, I mean,
he's 3 under. He shot a 75.
Overall, though, I just think like the most interesting thing is this metamorphosis of Bryson into the older age.
Okay.
I mean, in 2021, think about where we were with him at Kiowa.
Okay.
Think about where we were with him at Caves Valley. And think about where we are now.
Yeah.
It's a completely different, you know.
Sounds like he was bothered, though, by all the fan support.
A little.
Mac,
I think he was a little bothered.
Can I just say the clear, clear fan favorite is Scotty Scheffler. It's like
I think Max,
substantial.
I
guess
Max
I wasn't with Max.
Well,
much,
Max didn't make any birdies.
Yeah. It's interesting to me to see Scheffler be so, you know, I'm not like, I think they love dominance and he's been that and he's won here. And it's like people were like riding for Scotty the whole way.
Max made 17 pars and a bogey today. It was
crazy.
He played really solid, but
I spoke to somebody out there who had a bid, a wager. That like it was like 80-1 that someone wouldn't start with 14 straight pars, and they were following Homa nearly did it. I think what did his first bogey 12 or something?
Yeah,
and they were like losing their mind because he did it. It's really hard to do one way or the other. But yeah, it was a par fest.
What do you got in your notebook?
Morikawa. I mean, we're going to do contender, pretender. He's clearly a contender. He was fascinating to watch. He on five, crazy, cool shot on five. He spoke about it after. You know, I wouldn't say he's like prime Colin right now. He talked about how his confidence has been iffy and was iffy on Monday. He said he's been searching pretty much since the start of 2022. Like, pretty open, like, I don't know, you just find something and all of a sudden you're in the final group of the Masters. But he says, you know, his confidence is iffy even starting this week. He's in the middle of like some swing tinkering. And he talked about his approach into five. I saw it was really cool. He goes, I hit a drive down the middle at five, about 192, to the top right pin over the hill. I mean, it's just an impossible pin location at five. And it was a little downwind, a little off our right. I choked down on a six iron, hit it just absolutely perfect, landed right next to the pin and rolled out to 20 feet. And that's just a shot I haven't seen in quite some time. I haven't had that freedom. I'm very happy about that. Sometimes distances aren't going to be exact, but you know, just talking about hitting it choke down six to 192, rolling it to 20 feet, like haven't had that in a while. Now, this was a day. Tomorrow may be a different day because he doesn't sound, like, very self-admittedly, super locked in. Sounds better, but, you know, he's been searching, he said. It's been iffy. But here he is against Scotty, who should be a prohibitive favorite.
I mean, it's amazing with Scotty, too. This was a bad day.
He hit so many good shots, but the putts were not falling.
Let's talk about the start.
Yeah.
He chips in on one, which...
It was weird early. That was
not hit it well.
All the stuff happened.
He pars two.
I guess there was some controversy about a drop at three. I didn't see it about him getting some relief. But
I mean, three, he rolled in like a 35 footer.
Yeah.
So he's two under through three holes, and he hasn't done anything really well at that point.
Right.
Well, that is, and so you packaged that up where he got like away with stuff early. He played really bad in the middle, and then all of a sudden he makes an eagle. He makes a birdie on 15. He makes an eagle on 13. That was electric.
That shot he hit on 10 is both a mistake in, I don't know, I assumed like a mistake in strategy and a mistake in execution. But in both times, he messed up. Like, that's just a total break that Scotty gave the field there. And he got punched in the face for it, going long. I went back there in the pine straw. And that's like just a gift he kind of gives the field. That's not the Scotty we've seen anymore. And then he gets back to immediately more or less hitting a pin high on everything.
Yeah, and so he finishes in with the, you know, he plays the last, 12 on, 3 under. On a really hard day.
He missed a putt at 17 to give one back. You know, went long. It was just very hard. The pin at 17 was so freaking hard.
I got to say, he's better. He's the new Zalatoris. He's better from
a certain distance.
From like 7 feet and on than 7 feet and in.
It's interesting. Our final group are two players who historically, or I don't know, reputed to have some putting.
Short term, short putting.
Issues. Colin. I don't know if it's as acute at times as the whole Scotty thing has been over the last 2 years, but that's our final group, which should give some of the chasers a little bit of maybe hope. It's just hard to watch Scotty play around here, especially when the harder it gets, the firmer it gets, the more precision is required. It's hard to bet against him.
Can I inject a little fun tale?
Yes.
Here, a little follow up.
Yeah,
I think this is an exclusive for the shotgun start here.
We're going hard on golf tonight. We went hard on the insubstantiated rumors last night.
Light air here.
All right.
I get up to the top of the grandstand on 13, and I get invited by none other than Johnson Wagner.
Oh.
He says, come on over
Breakout
here.
Breakout star of the Players' Championship.
He invites me over to his radio booth, which had a monitor in it. It was
cool.
Great. So I'm sitting there with Johnson. I had to be really quiet, you know, when he was.
Not something you do well.
Well, he invited me over. He says, you gotta shut up when I'm talking. And I said, of course, I'm not going to say anything. He said, that's why I invited you over. But anyways, I think this is an exclusive. I know he's going on No Laying Ups live show. I hope they don't ask him this question.
Okay.
I hope I was the only one that was thinking this. It's we just had watched Scotty's eagle putt go in.
Yep.
He's on a break. And I say, Johnson, I got to ask you a question. I said, what do you think you hit on the gun when you're throwing balls at the bank at the Players?
Oh, dude, self-assessment here. I want to see what we topped out at. His own best guess.
All right, so here's the back. You know, famously, gunning balls at the bank to see if Rory McIlroy's ball.
Yep.
So here's his assessment. He used to pitch growing up.
Oh.
He quit baseball when he was 13.
Okay.
He topped out at 75 miles an hour.
Oh, so he had a little bit of juice. 75 at 13 is not nothing. I mean, I know some kids at 13 are probably throwing in the 90s, but.
So
I don't know. Some baseball scout's going to check. No, everybody at 13 worth their salt is throwing in the 80s. I don't know.
So last time he did the guess your pitch speed at a fair. Your pitch speed at a fair.
This is real reporting. This is great.
On his third pitch, he hit 68.
Oh.
He also said he threw his arm out.
That was good enough to get Phil a shot at the Toledo Mud Hens. 73.
So I said, you threw your arm out. Did you warm up before you went out there?
Yeah.
He said he did some long tossing with his kid to warm up before he got out there.
Oh, some long before the Players' Championship segment? Oh, my God.
Because the last time he threw his arm out.
Yes.
So
what a ridiculous segment that came out of that. This is great.
He had to go back on air for a second.
Yeah.
He comes out and he summed it up. He goes, so I think I might have touched 70. Probably 69, but maybe touched 70. Okay.
Interesting. That's a good reporting. I love that. A little bit of light, random celebrity sighting today. Jesse from Breaking Bad, Aaron Paul, had a delightful chat with him in the clubhouse at Augusta National. He was amazing. Nicest dude ever. Just wanted to know about, you know, the course, where to go, what to do. Just a random celebrity. So all I wanted to do was get him to, you know, that beam of, can't keep getting away with this. I wanted him to shout it about Bryson's conforming clubs that are magically conforming 12 hours before. You got to keep saying, shout, you can't keep getting away with this. Great chat with Aaron Paul. There's, of course, celebrities all over the place, but not Taylor Swift. What else do you have from your notes?
Good Guy Jerry Award.
The Triple G Award, picking up trash. Jerry McIlroy.
This is just Jerry McIlroy. A couple years ago, I saw him pick up a tiny piece of cellophane, walk probably about 200 yards out of his way to dispose of this piece of cellophane while Rory was playing. Yeah. So this is the Good Guy Jerry Award from the grounds.
Jason Day won it last night. Who's got it tonight?
I heard Fred Couples spent all day Friday not only playing golf, but also kicking pine cones off the fairway. Apparently kicked hundreds of pine cones.
Just trying to beautify the place?
Yeah, just helping out the grounds crew.
Good Guy Jerry Award.
Love that. Fred Couples wins the Good Guy Jerry Award.
Okay. Other bits and ends. Can we do our logo game? We do this every, let's send 30 seconds on this. favorite of walking around Augusta. What is the most prevalent logo that you see?
Power rankings?
Non-Masters, non-Augusta National, probably non-Augusta Country Club. I don't know. But
I mean, Augusta Country Club is the king.
Probably. Yeah, right. A lot of ACC out there. What do we got? In prior years, you've seen a lot of Hoopy, I think last year.
Tree Farm has surged.
Tree Farm is up there. There's a lot of Tree Farm up there.
You know
there.
What I always see a ton of?
What?
The Cherokee Country Club, the Axe, Knoxville. Knoxville representing.
Really?
Yeah, I just see the Axe all over the place.
Okay.
What about you?
Grove 23.
Oh, that's, you don't see it a lot. It's just so loud that you remember it. You notice it.
I feel like it's out there a good amount. Tree Farm is up there. Kiowa is always a big one around here. What else?
A Hoopy's still out there.
Constant.
I saw a guy wearing a Hoopy and Tree Farm. It was like the double whammy.
Palmetto's huge just because it's nearby. That's a big one. Marion seems kind of to be... There's a lot of Marion out there. And
Quail
Hollow I have on my notes as well.
I mean, that's got to be in the top five.
Quail Hollow I have in my notes. And a big one, and I don't want to take any credit for this podcast, but the Gold Man has never been hotter.
Players?
Yes. I don't know. We were in Ireland at the time. Apparently gave all the media schlubs a free hoodie. And that may be half of what I'm seeing out there, because they're never one to turn down and utilize free clothes. But the Gold Man, and for the Masters, I've seen more Gold Man than I ever thought I would expect. The Players, that's not necessarily a course logo, but it's out there a lot.
One of my favorite parts of walking with Sean Martin.
Yeah.
Is that he gets like irrationally excited every time he spots a President's Cup logo. And he'll be like,
a few of those.
President's Cup logo. That guy knows what's up.
And what is that? What is what's up? I'd like to elaborate on that. That's where I'd ask for more detail, Sean.
I just let him have his cake. I don't want to lay into him. I let him have his moment.
Well, if you are out at a course and you want a logo to procure for yourself, you see a nice place in the shop, we would recommend finding the Be Dratty section of that pro shop. That's what we do when we're out and about. I was wearing a Port Stewart one from Ireland the other night for our live show. We spend our own money on this stuff. These are friends of the program. This is stuff that we've come to wear every day, whether it's casual, a little bit more than casual, formal-ish. I wouldn't say formal, but this is what we've come to wear all the way on down. The boxers, to the hoodies, to the layers, to the golf shirts.
They got a new boxer. Do you know that?
I do know that.
The Tucker.
I didn't know the name. I know it's more of a brief,
it's
little
a
tighter.
Boxer brief, yeah. The Tucker.
Yeah, so, you know, be wary of that. And, you know, just choose appropriately. Don't try to, like, you know, outkick, you know, overshoot the overclub on that one. But, you know, if you're not an athlete, so just use the boxer. Don't go for the brief. Anyways, you could do polos, sport material. It's about to be sport conditions here, I would say.
I went sport
Sunday
today.
Sunday and Monday.
I've been Liaming all week.
Okay.
Peruvian Pima cotton, yep, all week for the, yep, most part. Yep. I kicked into sport gear today. I'm pretty happy about
it. Not vest weather. Not every day vest weather.
Well,
today.
This was
it
the
was
first
hot.
First day that I actually went out with the vest.
You were back.
I came
like, what are you
back
doing?
In.
Look, I can't carry that.
God, I got on the shuttle. So we take these cart shuttles.
Yeah.
And I got on the shuttle, and the guy must have averaged like 3 miles an hour.
Oh no.
We had three carts behind us.
Okay.
And you can't say anything.
No.
You can't say anything. But it was insane.
A lot of action on the cart path this year. A lot of, like, UPS trucks. I don't know. Just a lot going on the cart.
I think they need to build the media shuttle, a tunnel.
A tunnel.
Why can't we use the player tunnel?
You want us down there? You think we should be treated like players? No.
The player tunnel's insane.
Yeah.
When
they
you
get
think
them,
about
just
it.
Just bring them into the media center. Yeah.
It's like crazy. This is used by like 25 players a year.
Yeah, because you got to be in the lead to get the trip down. And then you got Tuesday.
Or a huge name.
Yeah, and then that Tuesday. But you don't need to be a huge name to get 30% off at Be Dratty. You go to BeDratty.com, use the promo code SGS30, and you get 30% off. We have a lot of nice Be Dratty gnome merch we're going to be giving away to Good Walk Coffee subscribers as well. So if you subscribe at goodwalkcoffee.com/shotgun.
Maybe one very special item.
Very special item that could only be maybe procured this week. We've done so. Very special item for a good walk. Look at you. You're just grinning ear to ear. Good Walk Coffee subscribers. You got to subscribe. You get 10% off for subscribing. And then you get 20% off the first time using the code SGS. Goodwalkcoffee.com/shotgun. All right.
Hey, are you worried about Scotty's putter tomorrow?
No.
It didn't look good today.
No, not necessarily. He poured one in on 18, walk off with a birdie, missed one on 17, had a closer one on 8.
Missed a few. 11, 10.
I think he's... all right, how far back is too far back? Who's contender pretender? Colin Morikawa, after he says it's iffy and he's searching. He birdied 1, 2, 3, and that was about it for the day. That's not to say he played poorly.
One, two, three, and then...
he parred in, more or less.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good.
I think I'm drawing the line at Bryson.
Xander is just full house cat, pawing at the back door. He's going, he's meowing.
I think Xander deserves a little credit. I wanted to bring this up yesterday.
Okay.
He played a heck of a round of golf yesterday.
He apparently also, after Rahm was suggesting they stop the play because it was too windy, and you know, the balls were moving, Xander was apparently like, oh, you just got to play, man. Just tough it out. Go out there and play.
I wasn't complaining. Yesterday, he earned some stripes for me, and they're about the size of the stripes on his shoes.
There you go. All right, so he's a house cat with a few more stripes. Clearly, just he's too far back though. At 2 under with Scotty at 7 and Morikawa at 6.
I mean, what's he? If he shoots 67, does he have a chance to win? Is my question.
I don't think so. That gets him to 7 under. Between Max,
the
Colin,
low round,
and Scheffler.
The low round of the week is 65.
Bryson's gone 65, 73, 75. Do you think he continues that trend tomorrow and goes above 75?
I'm worried about what he said about the speed of the greens. It sounds like like the greens weren't fast on Thursday.
Yeah.
Greens have gotten faster, and they're causing him problems.
I think they'll create some birdie chances out
I
there,
think,
no?
You know, probably why they're causing him problems. It's got the arm lock putter, which is probably pretty heavy. And when you got a heavy putter, it's really hard to putt on super fast greens because you don't feel like you can stroke it. I mean, like, he had 2-3 putts that were just because he could not even, like, keep the ball. It was, one was early in the round. I can't remember where it was. But the three, yep. He had like a crazy downhill putt, and then on 13, and it was like he had no chance to keep them anywhere near it. So I would say, I think Bryce is where I draw the
pretender.
Line. I think he's a pretender, but yeah. I think he can win.
What? What is that? What? You think he's a pretender, but he can win? Well, that's like just
after the last 2 days, I believe that anything
picks players to win on different platforms. Are you on the score and you know, picking a different guy than you're on here?
No, I know when I go on the score, I know the host of the score does not like Bryson. I actually have to admit that I stole your Madeline Albright line.
Oh, good.
He really liked it.
Oh, good. Well, that's what I'm here for. Ludvig is 4 under, 3 back off Scotty. With only Colin,
I think he's got
and
a chance to win. He's played the best golf of anybody the
first
last two
major
days.
Ever.
It's insane.
He's just to quote Jordan Spieth at Valero. He's driving the piss out of the ball. He hits that low pier. I mean, no, he just pierces the ball with rockets.
Is Max a contender or a pretender?
I think he's a contender. I think everything we've seen from him this week would suggest he's not going to precipitously drop or fade away.
What I like about Max and why I will say that he's a contender is that you feel like today was his bad round.
Okay.
I think that he could easily have had a couple things go a little bit differently today, and he shoots 68. I don't think he played poorly, and he shot 73. So I think Max is in prime position. I also love for Max that he is not playing with Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah, that's good. Colin, contender, pretender, who, quote, I've never seen a course like this. That's literally what he said.
I think he's a, I think he's a contender because, like, I thought your assessment last year of the Rahm Brooks thing, where you talked about Rahm kind of out physicaling Brooks. Like, Brooks has this air of physicality and this intimidation factor. I think Scotty is such a good iron player that it's kind of relentless for his playing partners.
Yeah.
Like, you, every time you look up, you're like, God, he didn't even hit that good of a shot, and he's 15 feet away.
Mm-hmm.
I think if there's one player remaining in this field that Scotty might be like, holy shit, this guy's hitting irons. Like, I just think that Morikawa can go toe-to-toe with Scotty. These are Morikawa conditions. It's firm. Ball's going to roll out a little bit more in the fairways, which give him a little advantage off the tee. You know, like, it gives him a bump from what his baseline is, especially when it's wet.
A bump, okay.
When the greens get firm, it amplifies his supreme iron talent. Like, this is Morikawa central.
But isn't it also Scotty central?
It is.
Like, that's the problem.
It is, but, like, my point is that if there's one guy that can go toe-to-toe and maybe have Scotty being like, I can't believe he hit that shot.
Yeah. Okay.
It's Colin Morikawa.
I think you also have to hope for Scotty to make, like, an execution mistake. Like, he's so good at iron play that he, like, takes on a lot. Now, he's very smart, and Ted Scott, and they're like, they hit to the flat side and all that. But, like, his shot into 18, he just rode the edge right up of that bunker, like, right at it. I think he landed on the short, like, the tight side. And, like, I don't know, maybe you hope something like 10 happens. That's, like, what you're hoping?
Well, I think the reality of this round was, I mean, 1, 2, and 3 could have easily been one over, even. And he was 2 under. And then he made a pretty bunch of, like, a bomb eagle putt. I mean, he rolled in 2 20-plus-footer putts today. He missed some shorties, but I think that I don't think it's unrelated that the short putts seem to come out when there's a lot of pressure.
Patrick Cantlay, T13, even par. Is he top 10 at another top 10 at the Masters?
I'm just going to say no. Do you think Rory top 10?
Rory McIlroy, T21, 3 over. Is he top 10?
This is a lock.
T21.
He is in prime. Back door. He's playing with the tank. He's playing with Seth.
Comfortable pairing. He and Tank get along, I think. The Southerners down here love the Tank. I say he's not your own. He's Austrian. He's not your own. He's playing for Europe. They love him down here, though, with good reason. Septic Tank. They're playing together.
You know what pairing could get chippy?
What's that?
The Pavantaraj and Patrick Reed.
Oh, gosh.
Could you see that getting chippy?
Yeah, they don't seem to seem of like mind and so. I heard someone sent us a game within the game. Brentley sent us a game within the game is Tiger versus Shipley.
Hey, you kind of take the gnome flag home.
What's that mean?
You took Tiger. I got Phil. Right.
Oh, God. Tiger. Oh, it's not over yet. Phil hit down one on 9T. He hit down one.
He did.
Teed it up way on the right side of the box. Lefty went up and over. He's just screwing around. So don't put the cart before the horse. Phil is out there just screwing around, just, you know, trying different things on his last round. It could blow up in his face.
You know what Scheffler doesn't get enough credit for?
What?
I think we've been in this distance gains world where everybody talks about how far people can hit it.
He hit into the crosswalk on 9 today. Hit a fan. Bounce back.
He can beat it. Yeah. He's got a lot in the tank. But I feel like what is his secret weapon is he's got like an amazing like cut fastball. That's like a 92.
Mm-hmm.
He's got movement, not just power. He can touch 99, but
he
throws the cutter and it's just like he hits the fairway. Like the control, I think about this video all the time when I watch him play golf. He did this amazing European Tour social video where he goes through like how he hits drivers, and it's like all just like how he tees it. So when he wants to like smoke one, he tees it way up. When he like, and he's like, when I want it like my super control, I tee it way down, and it's all like based off of that. And like I was just watching him on one, and it's just like he teed it down, and he's just hitting. It's like effortless. He's hitting it 80%, you know.
Yeah.
And it's, you watch some of these guys, and it's just they're trying to hit it so hard and so far all the time. But like, I think Scheffler's like, he just gives himself so many opportunities to hit from the fairway, if he does that, his iron play is going to overwhelm anybody.
Gonna have to also, you're gonna miss greens though as well. And he had a good quote today, like, why are you so good at short game? You watch Nikolai, like Nikolai was a disaster, just putting through greens at 14, chipping through the green at 15, just a mess around the green, just throwing shots away. And he's, you know, probably a rookie, I think.
I think he felt something that he had never felt before. Yeah. After he made the putt on 10.
Shot at 11 back. Short game was a mess.
It's kind of amazing. You make the putt on 10. It's Saturday afternoon. You're the solo leader. You're aware that you're 26 to play.
Yeah. So Scotty said his short game is so good because at his club, that's all he could compete with the pros. The Royal Oaks, I think it was, in the Dallas area. It's like there were a bunch of pros there. I thought I couldn't beat him at anything else, but I thought I could try and take him on as a little pup. Kind of a cool, like, little story, and like that's how he got good at a short game. He would try to challenge the pros, and that came in handy again today.
Was there anybody you were super disappointed with today?
No, I don't think it was very easy out there at all. No one made a big move. I think if you would be forgiven if you shot 75, quite honestly.
I was disappointed in the project.
Who's the project?
Kurt Kitayama. That was my featured pairing. That was what I
wanted. Kitayama Glover. Can't say they had exactly the Arnie's Army out there following the Kitayama Glover pairing.
God,
just
VJ made the cut too.
VJ and Olathabal both made the cut. So
game within the game, who wins, Tiger or Olathabal?
Oh my God, that's not fair. Tiger looked like his back, I guess, was in rough shape going around towards the end. Who wins? Who's your winner?
I mean, I'm taking Scotty.
Yeah.
What are you taking?
Scotty. Colin didn't sound like he's still, you know, he's had a great week. He's an exceptional player, but he said, you know, he's still searching a little bit.
What's the best case scenario? Winner.
I mean, it's the thick boy. Let's not kid ourselves here.
I'm so mad I had to ask that question when he was in a bad mood.
The YouTube? You didn't get called on. You got jammed yesterday. You had your hand up the whole time and he was in a good mood and you didn't get called on.
They tried to freeze me out of the quick.
No. Some of the old codgers? Then the press were trying to bump
Bryson,
you out?
Bryson gave me the go-ahead.
Bryson, your new friend. Your fellow YouTube appreciator, Bryson, and you. Scotty's the what's
I should,
the
I should tell Bryson I've got a YouTube account. Yeah.
Course profiles. You could tell you it's a little,
collaborate
a little bit of a change up from Jinxy and Sketch, but there are some nice drone footage and pretty pictures. So what's your best case scenario?
You know he would have gone just for 10 minutes on it in the press center.
Yesterday. You didn't get called on. You're stewing. What's your best case scenario? Is it him?
I think it is. I think it's just like there's a lot of layers to why it's Bryson.
Uh-huh.
And a lot, you know, it's just, it would be a year of unbelievable quotes.
Do you think the tournament, Augusta National, wants him to win?
No, I don't.
Yeah. Substantiate. No. Yeah.
I think that putt Scotty made, I'm just looking through my notes here.
Where? 18?
On 13. Okay. I think that was the most emotion I've ever seen from him.
That was a loud roar. That was a big one.
It was.
He needed it, too.
It was
too.
Electric.
Needed
it.
It was
looked
bleeding.
Like it barely got there.
Yeah. Double just, and bogey at 11.
Just a couple other things.
Okay. We got to wrap this up.
This is the last of it. I spent all day listening to people explain who Bryson was to casual patrons.
Yeah, that's a big thing out there. Sure.
And then the other thing was everybody was asking what Max Homa was doing when he was doing the aim point, his little patented squat. You know, okay. How he does the little squat?
Yeah.
Everybody was like, what is he doing? And then one other thing. Maybe this. The single ladies might want Bryson to win. They all are talking. They all. I can't tell you the last 2 days how many women have, like, heard say, like, oh, he's cute.
I think getting out of some of that Puma dreck has helped his image, too. Okay. Whatever the crushers.
Getting out of the Hogan cap.
The thirst bucket Hogan cap. That's a fair point. I guess he has a chance. Yeah, he could shoot 68 or something, 67 again.
So. I wish DJ Scotty's was around the for the weekend so people could have kept asking him.
Scotty's the pick again. Everyone enjoy your Saturdays. We'll be back Sunday. We'll be back with some writing, Friday golf newsletter, Friday website, and a shotgun start to put a bow on it. Been an awesome week at Augusta National. This one was wanted to go a little more in depth on some of the golf we watched. You know, it's a mix. If you want to listen to more, you know, rumors and story time, check out Friday. This is
one more thing.
Back and forth.
I gotta commend Colin Morikawa's agent.
Why? What happened?
Andrew Koepper.
Okay.
This man has sold
a lot of commercials, Comcast business, and all
he
this.
He sold his yardage book.
Oh, God. What is it?
His yardage book has KPMG on it.
Well, I saw a guy in a KPMG hat walking around with the entourage with, like, his wife, Kat, and the agent.
I also believe he is now representing Max Homa.
I think you're right.
Who has more brands on his shirt than anybody, yeah. Anybody on tour.
He's got a lot.
He's got both collars.
He's got the minor league outfield wall going.
He's got both sleeves. He's got two on his back. He's got FootJoy and NetJets on his back. He's got two, you know, on the front of the bag where their name is?
Yeah.
He's got Silverleaf and
Chipotle
now.
Oh, yeah, he does have Chipotle.
I've never seen more logos on a player than Max Homa. This guy, it's extraordinary the sponsorship work going on there, because the yardage book was what got my attention. The back, like, somebody paid a lot of money for that yardage book.
KPMG popping out of the back pocket.
It's like, who looks at the yardage book very often?
That's all it needs to happen is a couple times.
It's
got to
be the least valuable spot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Max, I was then looking up and down Max. I'm like, oh my God.
He's got a lot of them.
I don't think he has space for another logo.
Well, he's got two guys in the top three. So big Sunday for that, for those
logos.
I wonder what
his allegiances are going to be.
I don't. Scotty's the pick. We'll be back Sunday. Talk to you then.